Oh my God. We are back together again. Great day, great day, great day, Kings. Listen, it's Apostle Johnita Collins. I missed you last week, Resurrection Sunday. Listen, we had a great service, but it was a private service. Some things are not made for the public, and I am big on that, okay? Everything that Jesus did, some things he just did with his disciples, and that was it, okay? That's just the bottom line. If you ain't in the number, you ain't in the number. There's nothing I can do about it. So listen, go ahead and join if you want to be in the number on all those extra things and behind-the-scenes things that we do here at Reign Embassy, because we do a lot. Listen, Deliver Me was outstanding. People came, they got what they needed to get, and God had his way with each and every one of us. Listen, you must be the first partaker, okay? I'm the first partaker of anything I preach or teach. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not one that just talks and just, you know, it sounds good. Maybe this will work for somebody. Maybe this will make sense for somebody. Listen, I am the first partaker of everything that I present to you. Don't ever think that I'm not. With that being said, we are on part three of Offensive Love in the Ecclesia. As he is, so are we in this world. Part three. We have been hammering through. Listen, our souls have been working out the word. The word has been working our souls. It goes hand in hand. You got to work out your soul salvation with the word. You got to work out your soul salvation with the truth. You got to work out your soul salvation, listen, with the King. Because that's why we're here. The shame of it is the church made with human hands doesn't understand that. It thinks that it's here for each other in a humanistic way. But we are here for a King, as I talked in session one about Jesus, who came here with what? Leadership on his shoulders. On his shoulder. Government on his shoulder. Listen, that is already declaring a purpose. Do you know your purpose? Do you know why you're here? I'm sure that you don't. But today, I'm going to give you some insight that's going to blow your mind. Hopefully, I'll get to that part. This thing is blowing up bigger and bigger. Offensive love in the ecclesia is important to our King, because he wants you free from being offensive to him. Come on here. The King wants you free from being offensive to him. I know that you don't think that you are offensive. I know that you think you got it together. I know that you believe, based off of the doctrine, the false doctrine you've been taught, that you and the King are cool. But I'm here as the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ to make you aware of where you are offensive in the kingdom of heaven that's existing here on earth, that Jesus the Christ established when he showed up as the apostle. Oh, come on here. I said a lot, but I need you to think about this. I need you to see it from these lens, right? This lens right here is from eternity. This lens right here is not from church. And that truly is the difference. And when you start thinking and being a King, let me start saying it like this. When you start being the King that you are, even if it's just a little bit, God himself can move in you. It's not as much of a struggle, because he can speak to you. Why? Because now you have ears to hear. But as long as you're doing your own thing and it's church as usual in your life, you will not have an ear to hear. That's why in Revelation, listen, he said, have an ear to hear. Mm-hmm. What the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Come on. If I have not taught you one thing, I have absolutely taught you that you have been listening to other spirits thinking that it's God. Come on. Have I not taught you that? Have you not come to that conclusion yet? Or do I need to make it that clear? I mean, all of this teaching, the traits of Judas. What do you think I'm teaching you? How the spirit of Judas is living through you. How it will show up and wreck your life and destroy your life if you are not on top of yourself, if you are not governing yourself. Oh, this is why we must understand. We keep trying to say that this is just some feeling. We keep trying to want church to be some feeling, and we don't want church to be any type of governmental leadership, headship, kingship. We don't want that. I done got into it. But I do want to give you this before we move further, all right? Because I spoke to you about offensive love is governmental law, love. That's how I started this whole session out. Part one, offensive love is governmental love, right? And if you understand that, then you will understand Jesus is our standard of love, not humanity. Today, I will present to you the truth of Jesus and the true love of Jesus that defies the norms and culture of church as we know it. I'm going to keep reminding you as to why we are here and what we come to do, because I come to service my King. I don't actually come to service you. I come to service my King and his kingdom. And because you are here, it is for you. I hope you caught it. I hope you understood what I just said. Because the church made with human hands is manipulating you. It's forcing you to do certain things, to hear certain things, and understand certain things a certain way. Because it represents itself. It's unafraid and unashamed of its operations, its illegal operations. But my job as the apostle of the Lord is to teach you how you've been illegally operating and to teach you how it's not Jesus the Christ that you are actually representing. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I think that I'm coming out the gate giving you some powerful nuggets to consider, because you yourself are the one who has to work out your soul salvation. My salvation, I work out for me, because I plan on entering into heaven. I plan on entering into eternity. But my question that I must pose to you is, where do you plan on landing? Because if I don't ask you that, you'll never think that you need to do anything different. You'll keep believing that as you are is okay. But the scripture doesn't say, as you are, so is he in eternity. It says, as he is, so are you in this world. That means that you got to work out your soul salvation. Put these scriptures together and use your whole mind. Put these scriptures together and use your whole mind. It's the fact that you do not think, because you don't want to think, because you don't want to win. Because winners study. Winners study. Winners in the world, winners in the spirit, winners on the job, winners on the playground. Listen to me. Winners study. Okay. Hopefully you'll catch that. Scripture shows us over and over again how Jesus' love wasn't only bold, but most importantly, uncompromising. I'm not going to stop bringing that point out. Why? Because you're compromised. You're compromised. How do I know? Because you're in this church. You're listening to these messages. You're not changing. Your life is the same. You're blinded. You can't hear. Need I say more? The Spirit of the Lord is not actually guiding you. I keep teaching you about these forms. Absolutely, you have a form. But when it comes to it, we know that your form is not going to be able to walk out of the fire. Your form is going to die. Because this thing right here is real. And it requires the fire of God. And because you lack it, every time he puts you right up to show, you know, yourself strong, there's no crossing over for you. You die on the field every time, or either you retreat. I'm just saying, you got to look at your own life, and you have to be able to realize if you're walking with Jesus or if you're faking it like you're walking with Jesus. And faking it looks like I only understand what I understand, and I do no studying to show myself approved for real, not by being able to regurgitate the word, but becoming the word. Listen, I have become the word. That is an apostolic mandate. If you are going to walk with Christ, you have to become the word just like him. Is that what you're working on every day?
Yes.
Today. Is that what you're working on every day? To not just repeat this word, but when he says that you're more than a conqueror, where is your wins? Yes. From your daily life, where are your wins of what you conquer? See, we want to talk about everything else that we've done, but we don't want to talk about what we've conquered in our souls, what we've conquered in our minds. Have you won? Have you destroyed sickness and disease? Because that's where the real testament is. God works with us. He doesn't do it for us. When you see healing and deliverance, it's because we believed. We put our faith somewhere. It was tried and it was found to be unshakable. It was found to be unmovable. Oh, come on. I'm all off my notes. I'm not even in my notes. Mm-hmm. Jesus' uncompromised posture was often seen as offensive to the rigid religious leaders in Scripture. And if you take an honest look at the posture of the pastors, the bishops, the apostles, the prophets, and Christians of today, you would know the truth of the matter is that Jesus' love is offensive to them too. At the beginning and the end of the day, most people live offended by the requirements of Jesus Christ. This is why you can't hold fast to your breakthrough. This is why you broke through because you believed, but now in order to keep the breakthrough, you must trust. See, you believed because you wanted something. So you had, look, you had faith to believe in that something, that Jesus could do it. But listen, in order to keep it, in order to maintain it, you got to trust that God is God all by himself. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, what happened is still true. The emotional high goes away. And when the emotional high goes away, when the excitement goes away, are you the one that's found still standing? Are you the one that remains? That's the question. Or are you the one now fluttering on through, looking for another fix? I want to hit this table so bad, but I'm afraid it might break. Not because it's weak, but because I'm so strong. And my points are strong. And they're designed to hit you right between your eyes. Boom. And cause you to have to think. They're designed to begin to disrupt your frontal lobe. And listen, you got to deal with your own mind. You got to deal with your own brain. You got to understand how your mind is thinking and how it's operating and how it was shaped in sin. You have to understand what that looks like on you today in order to allow God to reshape this thing. In order for you to become uncompromised, how can you become uncompromised if you don't even understand what being compromised is? If what you believe is what you believe and you think it's okay to believe it, then how would you ever believe that you are the one that's compromised? I'm dealing with your mindset and your inability to move forward because of you. The truth is not in you. Truth has to be birthed forth. It doesn't just move from scene to scene. It's not just shaped by moment to moment. Truth doesn't shape shift. Are you hearing me? Truth doesn't shape shift. A lie does. A lie is going to take on another form. A lie is going to keep showing up in a different way to deceive you. But truth is like this. This is truth. Truth doesn't move. Truth is unmoved by you. Truth doesn't shift. Truth stands still. Truth is ever present. Truth is a mountain that you can speak to, but it will not fall. It will not crumble. It will not change. Are you hearing me? Truth remains. God bless you. Now, how is this connected to offensive love? Because truth is offensive. Truth is absolutely offensive. But the love of truth is the only thing that sets you free. So listen, truth is love. Truth is governmental. Offensive love is governmental love. Truth is love. Truth is governmental. Truth is love. Truth is governmental. If you set your life to be remained in truth, it will be governed according to eternity now. Are you hearing me? But if you set your life to be rooted in humanistic love, it's going to be on the same trajectory of every fallen soul that's going to hell. Why? Because it's a lie. It's not rooted in eternity. It's rooted in earth, and everything about earth is dying. Everything about earth is a death culture. What are you talking about? There is no life on earth. This thing is expiring. What are you talking about? All of this will pass away. What are you talking about? Only eternity lasts forever where truth resides. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Truth resides in eternity, and it's dispensed through eternal beings. You better watch who you're listening to. I talked about that. Okay, this is malfunctioned. I'll fix it. Something, I don't even know how they had it up here, but this is not right. And I don't know what to do about it. Let's see. Maybe I can do it like this, perhaps. All right. I guess I popped. The enemy, he got mad. Like, let me just give a little distraction. Don't worry about it, though, because I'm going to stay on track, okay? With that being said, I need you to understand. Hold on. It can be just like that. I'm good with that. My belt is cute. Now you can see my slim waist. No. Trust me, it's not slim. Nevertheless, scripture shows us over and over and over again how Jesus' love wasn't only bold, but like I said, most importantly, it was uncompromised. I am teaching you this because I want you to begin to understand that your life is compromised. And if you want your life to be found in Jesus, it has to become a life that's uncompromised. In other words, you must be the governor of your mind. You must be the governor of your soul. You must be the governor of your spirit. Listen, you are the one that you must govern first. Government has to be housed inside of you first. Listen, you cannot expect that God is going to look outside of you. He's examining you as fruit. And what you want God to do is to examine outside of you and all your work. But he's examining you as fruit. He's examining how your mind works. He's examining how your emotions rule. He's examining how your body responds. Are you kidding me? He's examining you and I every day. What are you talking about? This is the problem. So when you don't admonish the word, when the word says, but wait a minute, why are you so focused on your neighbor's what? No. Splinter, what else?
The A.
Come on. What else? The splinter, but what else?
His maidservant, his manservant, put down his...
Why are you so busy looking at your neighbor's splinter? You're right. Mm-hmm. But what else are you looking at when you're looking at that splinter? What else are you looking at? Why are you so busy worried about their soul? Why are you so busy worrying about their shortcomings? Why are you so busy worried about their successes? Come on. When you're looking at that splinter, you're trying to point out all the issues. You're judging unrighteously. But God is saying, but you have a log of what?
A beam.
A beam. Look at how these descriptions. You have larger issues according to God, because God is examining you as fruit. And the issue is, you don't want to believe that he's going to look at you. You don't want to believe he's going to pick you apart. You don't want to believe he's going to talk about everything that you think nobody else knows, but he knows. And he's still coming after it. And he's still going to judge you accordingly. Everything about you, God is going to judge. Everything. Nothing's going by without being examined. And the reason why we find love, which I said is truth, which is rooted in eternity, offensive, is because it comes up against our funky natural flesh. Mm-hmm. It comes up against every humanistic idol, every humanistic experience, every humanistic want. It comes up against the human, because God gives you life for life, not life for death. Do you understand? He's going to give you more life. More life. The more of your life you give up, the more of his life you're going to receive. But you can't give him death, foul, nasty, rotten fruit, and want his life back. No. That's not how it goes. It's not how he goes. You have to put yourself down. You have to put yourself down. You have to be willing to die. Okay, you don't believe me? Father, take this cup from me. Father, take this cup from me. I can teach this thing. Father, take this cup from me. Did he take it?
No.
He didn't take it. He was like, you better go win with all of that. You better go show who you are with all of that. You better go do what I sent you to do with all of that. Come on here. This is why you can't win. Because see, you can't go through nothing until all of that is lifted up off of you. Well, Jesus had to go through all of it and win with all of it put on him. I'm asking a question. I'm just standing still. Because the question that is constantly being presented is, how are you going through life? Are you going through life and claiming that you are in Christ as a king? Or are you going through life as a warrior? Are you going through life as a complainer? Are you going through life as one who no has a form? Are you going through life as one who believes that God can do it for you and that you don't have to do anything else? Are you one going through life saying God is just going to open up the door and let you in and that there is no requirement of you? I am just asking, because it's offensive to God when you don't understand his ways. It's offensive to God when you're trying to expect something from him and he doesn't have to expect anything from you. That's an offensive transaction. And I just still want to know, where does that kind of transaction survive? Only in the kingdom of darkness. That doesn't survive in eternity. Everything in eternity lives to please its God, not itself. Oh, come on. Everything in eternity lives to please its God, not itself. And you are not your own God. In eternity, in the kingdom of heaven that's here on earth, you are not your own. You are purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what Resurrection Sunday was all about. But as I taught here to my people, we don't live in what was. We live in what is and what is to come. Our identity is found in what is. Our identity is found in what is to come. Who we were yesterday does not matter. Who we are today does. Why? New mercies every day. Everybody falls short of the glory of God. But my God, if you are not working to keep your soul salvation, then what are you doing for real? And I know you don't think about it from that perspective, but I need you to think about it from that perspective. Okay. So how we started this out was understanding that Jesus came with the government, the system of rule by which heaven is managed. Jesus came with the sovereign government of eternity, right? As a leader on his shoulder. He came to establish it. The one thing that I taught you was these were not just descriptions of his name, but the offices he came in to occupy on the earth. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Understand me that these are identities identifying and speaking to what he's going to do. So when you don't think about this from a scriptural standpoint or from a standpoint of identity, you're going to always have a problem. But I'm here to teach you today that your identity was written in eternity to govern your destiny. I'm going to say it again, because this is where you're falling short. Your identity was written in eternity to govern your destiny. That's what I want you to remember. That's who you are. This is the only way you will win. Here are key biblical titles and designations used of God's people with their primary offices. I'm going to give you 18 biblical titles and designations used by God himself for you. Are you there? You're not there. It's okay. And the reason why that's important is because it begins to speak to who you are, because once you come into salvation, there is a responsibility. Hold on. This is what I want you to know before we get there. The offensive love of the Prince of Peace in a church that often values self-interest and comfort is quite militant. I want you to understand that. God's love is sent to disrupt complacency and force us to confront our own injustices towards ourselves, our own prejudices towards ourselves and our own apathy against the government of Jesus Christ, which is the evidence of salvation in your personal house first. I'm going to keep saying that because what I'm about to give you is going to shift you. This offensive love is not passive. It calls us to step out of our comfort zones and, like our Savior, to engage boldly with our identity as a king. So this is why I keep saying, hello, King. Great morning, King. Great afternoon, King. Why? Because I want you to understand that before anything, you are a king. When you wake up in the morning, you are a king. When you go through your day, you are a king. I need you to begin to think like a king. Jesus showed us with leadership from eternity. Jesus showed up with leadership from eternity to establish the embassy of heaven on earth. And your salvation is the pronouncement of the same government residing in you. Did you hear what I just said? Listen, what are you showing off from day to day? Are you showing off the fact that there's a whole pronouncement inside of you going before you saying who you are? And that pronouncement is rooted in the government of eternity. I want you to understand that divine power and sovereignty has been left in our hands if we would only grab a hold of what is in our name. What is in your name? 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 Listen, divine power and sovereignty has been left in our hands if we would only grab a hold of what is in our name. The divine power strengthens us in identity and gives us the ability to justly intervene in our lives, to justly intervene in our own affairs. Listen, and to redeem our lives first before we can go and redeem our brothers. If you would only listen to what I just said, if you would only take the time to understand and grab a hold of what I'm presenting, I'm telling you, it will be absolutely outstanding for you because your name, according to scripture, is Israel. Your name, according to scripture, is chosen generation. Your name, according to scripture, is royal priesthood. Your name, according to scripture, is holy nation. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Your name, according to scripture, is peculiar people. Your name, according to scripture, is children of God. It's saints. It's elect. It's salt of the earth. It's light of the world. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You have a name. Outside of the name that you have been given by your natural parents, your heavenly Father has already given you a name that speaks to who you are, that speaks to what he expects, that has already endowed you to perform accordingly. You have a name. Hey, body of Christ. Hey, bride of Christ. Hey, branches of the true vine. Hey, temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on here. Are you walking in your identity? Your identity was written in eternity to govern your destiny. So if your destiny is salvation in the King, then hello, Israel. Then hello, chosen generation. Then hello, royal priesthood. Then hello, remnant. Hello? Hello, ambassador for Christ. Hello, family of God. Come on here. You don't ever have to identify. I don't have to identify as Johnita. I can identify as the elect of God. What are you talking about? Do you not know your identity was written in eternity to govern your destiny? What are you destined for? Are you operating according to these offices? Yeah, I'm stepping all over your walk. I'm stepping all over your false salvation because you're not faithful. out in this, and I know you're not. God's covenant people called out from the nations. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Who is he talking to? Who is he talking to? See, I'm coming after the lies that are being taught, calling this thing Jesus when it's no Jesus involved, because I just laid Jesus right before you. God's covenant people called out from the nations. Are you called out from the nations? Or are you still acting like the nations? Are you still conducting yourself like the nations? Are the nations of this world inside of you, or the nation of Jesus Christ? Which one? Your life is evident of who's reigning. Your life is evident of who's ruling. And you want God to bypass his word. How can he? He can't. Hey, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. Come on. But ye are a chosen generation. I mean, listen, we can go on and on and on. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Come on here. I can go on and on and on how Jesus the Christ, how God the Father, and how the Holy Spirit has a whole book called the Bible, the Holy Bible, that's supposed to be teaching you how to work out your own salvation. It's supposed to be teaching you how to be rooted in your identity from eternity that was already written so that you could fulfill your destiny on earth. But instead, you just want to be Barbara. Goodbye. I'm gonna walk away. Because you're so busy trying to prove your natural lineage that you don't even care about proving your eternal inheritance. What are you talking about? You're so busy talking about your mama and your daddy and what they did and how they did it and what happened that you didn't forget that there is a such thing called what is and is to come. Saints, set apart, ones called to live in holiness. Is that you? Is that your identity? No, because we love to say, good morning, saints, and everybody just came from the club last night, partying, drinking, drugging, and we have the nerve to call them saints. Saints is reserved for the king and reserved for the kingdom. Hello, salt of the earth. Go ahead and be salty. Wait a minute. These messages that's preaching, they ain't salty. They not preserving the king. They're killing the king's kids. And we are walking in agreement. Because every time you talk out or say something about what's happening, then you're flagged as the one with the problem. Well, flag me. And I hope everybody come over here to listen. Hey, light of the world. You know you're not the light of the world. You know you're full of darkness. Are you kidding me? But we're going to put on a shirt. You understand?
Yeah.
We're waving these banners, and we're using this language that's reserved for the king's kids. And now we are actually the ones allowing everybody to carry these titles. But it's still illegal, and Jesus is still going to judge. I'm just saying, I could go on and on and on. Branch of the true vine. Everybody want to be connected to the vine. Everybody want to claim they offshoot to the true vine. Listen, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. But there's a requirement right here. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What you doing, you liar? What are you doing? You're not bringing forth the same fruit. Come on. Because, see, this is the problem. We're picking through the scripture, and we're just hearing these sounds. And listen, we're not going back to get the whole song. Go back and get the whole song. In other words, don't just listen to the one part that makes you feel okay while you sitting there going straight to hell. Go read the whole scripture. That's why I give you the scripture. Go read it for yourself. Yeah. We like to show up. We the vine. We on the vine. We the branches. Yeah, we connected to God. No, you're not. Because he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What fruit are you bringing forth, and is it the same? That's the only thing I have to ask. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? No, you don't know. And that's why you okay with showing it off, and that's why you're okay with everything going inside. That's why you don't have any covenant relationship. That's why you're very free with yourself, because you like free spirits. Let's keep it real. Your identity is not found in Christ. And so now we got to wonder, why are you saying that you are a Christian? Because I'm giving you identity that's found in Christ. We're not even going to get to Ambassador Remnant. Come on. These titles reveal the what? Come on. What is it revealing?
An eternal identity.
Okay, thank you. These titles reveal your multifaceted identity, because you rule in heaven and you rule on earth like this. This is your identity. You are set apart. You are people that have been called for God's purpose. You are people that have been empowered. What? To finish his commission, to continue it with him. Why? Because he called you his people. He said that you are his heirs. You are his offspring. Why are you conducting yourself like somebody else? You are set apart, empowered, and commissioned, guess what? To display his grace, to display his truth, and to display his rulership on earth. What are you doing from day to day? I told you, Christ love is offensive, because that was just an offensive word. But it was the truth. And if you have an ear to hear it, you would examine yourself the way the king is going to examine you. Because when he starts examining you, he's looking for himself. He's looking for the same fruit. And if the same fruit ain't found, you ain't coming in. I'm going to keep preaching the same gospel. What am I preaching? The kingdom, what? The kingdom of?
The kingdom is at hand.
Okay. So I'm preaching that it ain't going anywhere. It's already here. It's not coming. It is already here. And if you are not grabbing a hold of the truth that makes you free, then listen, don't think that you are getting in. Your identity was written in eternity to govern your destiny. Jesus didn't elevate us merely with beautiful titles. He entrusted us with his very authority to carry on his commission on earth. To carry his commission on earth. In other words, these designations we bear aren't ornaments. And that's how we carry them today. We want to carry all of this as an ornament, just like it's on a tree or something. You hanging this trinket up on a tree. You're decorating yourself with this on a t-shirt. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? How bad and how far we are from God, and how we're actually using his language illegally, calling everybody a saint when they're not. Wow. The designations that we bear aren't ornamental. They are offices of power. They are governmental, because he left all power in our hands. And how do we prove that? Where do we find that? Let's go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, John 14 and 12, and John 20 and 21 through 23.
Go ye therefore into all the nations. Well, go ye into the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Behold, or lo, I will be with you always until the end of the age.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I just wanted the straight word, not your version, by the way, please. Now, with that being said, I do want you to understand, he did something. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is a whole commandment and instruction. And I guarantee you, the average saint does not keep to this. Why? Because this is not just for the apostles. This is for everybody born after Jesus died, because this is the apostolic era. Jesus died as an apostle. He released his anointing onto all of us as apostolic Christians. This is a dividing factor. You can want to stay in the prophetic, but I promise you, listen, we are truly in the apostolic, and the problem is we don't even know where we are.
Jesus.
We don't know where we are. We don't know how we're following God. We don't know how we are to follow God. Listen, this is the problem. You're everywhere but in Christ Jesus. But I'm going to promise you this. Those in Christ Jesus, they are born of the apostolic spirit of Jesus Christ, because it was his blood that was shed, and it's his blood that raises us up. I wasn't raised up by a man. I was raised up by the power of Jesus Christ, and it's found in his blood. That's why I always teach about the blood. That's why I always stand on the blood. Nothing made me but the blood of Jesus Christ. No man will ever put his hands on me, because I belong to a king. I already have a king. I already have a father. I already have a place in eternity. What are you talking about? Do you? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In heaven and in earth. In heaven and in earth. Where is your identity? You so earthly that you have forgot about your eternity. Listen, you should be in heaven and on earth right now, because it's available for you. What are you talking about? You have a dual citizenship because you said yes to Jesus. Don't let them duke you out of your inheritance with their lies. Because the only thing they can appease is your old funky flesh. But the moment that you enter into salvation, all of that is supposed to change. And so I know you're not saved, because nothing has changed about you. You only shapeshift. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I have commanded you. Listen, you don't have a command to go and teach, because you're not saved. Listen. Listen, you illegal operating people. You are illegally operating in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, calling yourself a Christian, and God will judge you accordingly, because you yourself. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What has he commanded you? And lo, I am with you always. He is only with those who are doing his work. He is not with those who are doing their own command. Jesus. Don't believe the lie. Because it's a lie. See, what we like to say is love. I will always be with. Yeah, we like to believe that he's going to always be with us. And we want to take out all of his statements. But he said a whole lot before he said, I will remain with you. He told you a couple of things. Therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That was a whole commandment. And what are you teaching? Humanistic gospel. You're not with God. You're not keeping his command. You're teaching a Swiss cheese gospel. That's a terminology that me and one of my mentees came up with. Listen. Teaching them to observe all things, not to break away from all things, because that's what's being taught from day to day. You don't have to be holy. You don't have to be upright. You don't have to be righteous. You don't have to keep his commandments. That's old gospel. That's old news. The blood has done the work. Well, why did he say this? If the blood is the finished work, then why did he himself? This is Jesus' words. This is not a different rendition. This is Jesus himself telling you what he expects. Teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. He put an amen. He put a period on it. He put a this is final on it. It is final that I will only be with those who keep my commandment and do according to my will. I am not with you. I am not with you because you are not with me. You are with another God. You are spreading a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. I am not with you. John 14 and 12, who has it?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that work, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you. This is Jesus speaking again, is it not? Your identity was written in eternity to govern your destiny. Let's look at another destiny. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, this is a destiny. This is a prerequisite. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. He that believeth, what?
On me.
The work that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What is the greater works? The greater works is being able to work out your soul salvation. We so busy trying to, I built this church. Nothing in the kingdom is outside of the king. Only what you do for Christ will last. Will you save yourself? Will you save yourself? Will you keep yourself rooted in your salvation? Will you keep yourself to make it back to me? Nothing else matters to him. This is all that. This means nothing to him. What matters to him is, do you believe it? Because only if you believe will you be able to do the greater works. Y'all better stop believing these people with these false prophecies, with these forms of deliverance. Listen, deliverance looks like something. Prophecy looks like something. And it doesn't necessarily sound sweet. It doesn't necessarily have a rhyme. It doesn't, listen to me. For all of you prophets who love your poetry and you making up all of these fancy, sweet words and rhythmic tonations, prophesying lies. I'm not saying it's no true prophets, but I'm telling you the prophets of the Lord Jesus Christ only have one interest, and it's not poetry. It's your potential in Christ. It's your potential in Christ. It's your potential in Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. You didn't see Jesus everywhere in everybody's face trying to prophesy. You didn't see him loosening his words and just speaking to every situation. You didn't see him with something to say about everything. He waited. He waited to do what? What was up above here? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. He waited for the commandment. He wasn't here, there, and everywhere. And some of you are so loose with your being that you don't realize you're going everywhere and you picking up guys all along the way. You stepping on territory that you don't even have the power nor the insight to deal with. First, you got to have the insight. Then you got to have the strategy. And most of you are not strategists. Your life is evident of that. Who has John 20, 21 through 23?
Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
Now listen to me. This is a whole governmental stance, is it not? Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. It's a reason why he said peace be unto you. Remember I taught last week, well, the week before last, the Prince of Peace. See, the Prince of Peace resides with us. When we go to cut a devil down, we ain't shaking at the boots. We're not confused. When we have a word that has to do with life and life-giving, and it might be not the nicest thing, but we are not afraid. We have the boldness of Jesus Christ, and we have his peace to do our work. And we leave it in the hands of God and all of God's army to deal with those who don't want to believe, to deal with those who want to say we're wrong, to deal with those who want to say we're out of line. Not when you're showing up on the king's behalf, you're not. But when you're showing up on your own, you are. Mm-hmm. Come on here. Mm-hmm. That's why you have no peace. And you don't walk with the peace giver. You don't walk with the one whose robe is dipped in blood. You don't walk with the one whose sword has blood. Listen, you're not walking with the king. You're not walking with the warrior. You're not walking with the one who walked into his own death knowing that he would rise again. You're not walking with him, and you are not walking like him. It's only then can you have the power. What? Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. You are powerless. You are hot air. Why? Because you are not holy. Why? Because you are not righteous. Why? Because you are not upright. Why? You cannot be just. You have to walk with Jesus Christ to be a just judge. It is not predicated on how many years you've been in a church. It's not predicated on how many years or what title you walking around. Oh, I'm an apostle. Well, I'm a prophet. Who cares? You better be righteous. You better be upright, because I went through a whole list of names. You better be Israel. You better be a chosen generation. You better be a holy nation. You better be a royal priest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I hope you guys are understanding what I'm teaching you today. You better find your identity here first before you want to go and occupy an office calling yourself a pastor or a preacher or a teacher or whatever. Work on this first, because this is what he's looking at. Are you a bride of Christ? Are you an ambassador of Christ? Are you a temple of the Holy Ghost? Come on here. Now, when I took a closer examination, hold on. Before, I'm about to get ahead of myself, but I don't want to do that. Because I do want to say this to you. I had to go down a little bit further. I want you to understand this one thing. When God talks about the body of Christ, he is talking about corporate power. Corporate power. Power that works together on his behalf. So the point of church, which I say, I don't have a church. I have an ecclesia because I understand my identity and I understand what we're supposed to do here. But when you come together corporately, it is not to soothe each other and make each other feel better. It is not to create a community where you feel like you're among like-minded people. Well, this is the problem. So we got the church over here where everybody got to have on the religious jeans because they're like-minded. We got the church over here where everybody got to be driving a Benz because they're like-minded. We got the church over here where everybody got to be a singer because they're like-minded. We got a church over here. Listen, the body of Christ is jointly fitted together. It's not compartmentalized like that. At the end of the day, we all should know our job and we should be able to be called to arms to do our job. And we don't even think like that. We don't think about the fact that when God puts us together, that we're called to arms to do our job. So if you are the singer and you are the drummer and you are the whatever, do you understand? You're the poet. All of this work is supposed to be unto God. And I promise you, your gifts are not your first works. He's not looking at what he gifted you with. He's looking at how he can use you for a situation to elevate his kingdom. Listen, he's a strategist. He uses everything. And we are so busy breaking down his body to be useless. Because that's what you become when you have no salt. Your salt has no savor. Your salt has no flavor. Your salt is no good. Your salt just is trampled on. Listen to me. You are not salty. You are not bold. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You have the form of God and you deny the power thereof. He can't use you. And yes, I'm hot. Because the purpose of salvation is for you to be used by God. For his purpose. To do his purpose. Nothing else. And we are everywhere but in the kingdom. We are everywhere but in the kingdom. When Jesus declared all power, listen. I want you to understand this. And I got to slow myself down because this is so important. When Jesus declared all power, it was a whole declaration and transferring of power into your hands. If you are saved, I mean saved, by the Holy Ghost, do you not know you are full of dunamis power? Do you not know who you are? Do you not know what that affords you? Why does your life look the way that it looks? I will always ask that question because those chosen by Jesus the Christ, life looks a certain way. We are a peculiar people. We are a holy nation. We are what? Housed. The Holy Ghost is in here. The Holy Ghost is all around here. It's evident. And they don't ever have to say it. People say to them, ooh, something about you. Ooh, this happened in your presence. Ooh, I wasn't feeling well. Now I feel just fine. Ooh, you ain't lay on no hands. You ain't give them no word. All of a sudden, they feel like they can move on in life. All of a sudden, listen to me. The Holy Ghost works through you. The Holy Ghost works through you. I house the Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? The Holy Ghost works through me. I'm not sitting up here. I don't have to do shopping. Nothing. To deal with a devil or a spirit. I don't even have to open up my mouth. I mean, you're supposed to be like Jesus. You walking past the devil like, what you doing here? No, what you want with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
Don't be deceived. Because what they're doing in these churches is not Jesus Christ. And it's not the Holy Spirit. It is a spirit, though, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Every title, every name carries weight. Okay? Salt, light, ambassador, branch, member of the body. Listen, flows from an expression that divine power exists in each and every one of us, if we would allow it. We no longer stand powerless in this world. Not if you are any of these. Not if you just identify as anything that I've brought forth. How could you be powerless? How? When all of eternity is working with you. Are you understanding? I want you to understand that it takes all of that to understand how you should move in this world. That's why I said your identity was written in eternity to govern your destiny. Well, guess what? It takes you understanding that you are the elect of God. It takes you understanding that you are the salt of the earth. It's not your neighbor, it's you. And I just went through 18. This ain't it. So at any given moment, you can rise up with power. When you open up your eyes, you can open up your eyes as the remnant. Listen, I remember when I first came back to Christ. It wasn't nothing nobody could do with me because I realized very early on, oh, he saved me. Oh, he sent me. All of what I've been through was him keeping me. It didn't feel like it when I was being kept. But Lord, did he work something out? So when I showed up, the remnant shows up. When I showed the peculiar, listen, when I, the nation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When I show up, my identity in Christ shows up. You'll never find another. If you knew me before, if you knew me by any of my past names, they don't exist anymore. You can want them to remain. You could try and, you know, call them and summon them. You know, people be doing weird things when they see that you on a straight and narrow. They don't want you to be there because that makes them look bad. You understand what I'm saying? But it ain't about me making you look bad. It's about me making Jesus look great. And that is your job. If you claim that you are saved and salvation is your portion, then your job is to show your king off. And the problem is, most of you don't look like it. Most of you are failures at life. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to hurt you, but I'm giving you the truth so that you can make a decision about what you want to do. Because Jesus wasn't a failure at life. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. But failure was never on the table as an option. I want you to understand We no longer stand powerless in a fallen world, but move forward as his living, what? Epistles. Charged with wielding his authority to preserve his truth, to shine his light, to reconcile what? The sinner in us, to become a fruit-bearing what? Tree. Planted by what? Living. Manifesting his life on earth. That's our job. So what am I dealing with? I'm dealing with your identity. Who do you identify as? If you're identifying as your natural name, that's not enough. You have to identify as a king. And I just gave you some kingly identity. You have to be identified as a child of Jesus Christ. Well, I just gave you all the things that you can call yourself. So listen, if you grew up in a household where you was called, you know, all them off words and all of that, you don't have to be that because I just gave you 18 names that you can call yourself. But here's the truth of the matter. Will you call yourself those things and then become them? See, this is where the work comes in. And most people don't want to work. We have a heavenly mandate, okay? And when you get and understand these names, you understand them as offices and mandates. This is how you conduct yourself. This is who you are. Now, what time is it? Because I might save this for
1:22.
How long have I been teaching? For about
an hour and 30 minutes.
About an hour and 30 minutes? I'll wrap this up real fast. So as I went through, as God was dealing with me with these names, and did I share that slide the week before?
Mm-hmm.
I said that I would, right? Okay. I'm going to share that slide today only because I want you to understand, because it was interesting looking at my own name, because the first thing I wanted to do was not only identify as how God identified me, but I wanted to understand the name that I came in. Okay, when I was birthed. Why? Because I hated that name. For years, I refused to go by my birth name. For years, I took on every other identity except for the identity that God gave me. Why? I didn't like it. I didn't understand his purpose. But once God got a hold of me and he was like, hey, I chose your name, I had to change the whole thing. I had to allow him to change my mind. Why? Because I didn't think that name was honorable. I didn't think it was worth even mentioning. But now, don't play with my name. Now, Johnita means a lot to me. Now, I understand. And I understand why the enemy would want to play with my identity. Because he never thought I would become this person that I am today. He thought he had a hold on me, but the blood works on my behalf, and I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary, not for us to stay dead, but for us to rise with him, and I am risen with my King, and I sit at the right hand of my Father as well, interceding not only for me, but everybody else. What are you talking about? I know who I am, and I know where I live. Having a heavenly mandate when viewed as a charge from heaven is the name Johnita Simone Collins. Okay? It becomes much more than a label. It carries a multi-layered message. And I was like, what? And it's so much more, but I'm going to keep it very simple. Okay? Divine grace. Okay? Wait, let me open this up. Divine grace. God's grace is the cornerstone of my identity. I come to realize that, but now I live that. And I live it in a way, I mean, I was just totally undone when I realized this whole thing. The name is a feminine variant of John, which comes from, well, we know, I don't want to start messing up these Hebrew words, okay? God is grace. So it says, being called, Janita declares that my life is marked by the gracious favor and kindness of God, which reminds me that God's divine grace has been bestowed upon me to be an overcomer and more than a conqueror like my King. I live this. My name is me and I am my name, but my name is rooted in the King. Are you understanding? Simone is the feminine form of Simon, which means he has heard, or God has heard. Being called Simone declared that I am attentive and responsive to God's call. I have been created to listen to God's divine communication and apostolic guidance to tend to his needs in his citizenry. Listen, I was doing this before I knew to do it. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You got to understand. But me understanding what's in my name now means even more than it did before. And it's okay because, let me finish this and I'll tell you my thought. Collins, the surname is a, what is it? Oh, Patreon-mic? I don't know.
That's it.
I said it right? Mm-hmm. Patreon-mic origin. So I understood it. meaning son of Colin. The given name Colin, which can be, oh my God, derived from Nicholas. I don't want to get into that because these are all these other things. But I put it on here. I should have took it off. But it means victory of the people. As a family name, Collins connects me to an expressive lineage and heritage of one that has been created to possess supernal strength and uphold the nation of Jesus Christ, leaving a legacy of overcoming challenges like my King. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. This is, when I tell you, I find it amazing because I hated my name. I find it amazing because for years, I used none of these names. Years. I'm not talking about 10. I'm talking about over 20 years. And I remember the day when God set me down and was like, what are you doing? Do you not know the power that I've put in your name? And clearly, I didn't know. And I still didn't know to this magnitude. What I understood at that time was the names that I was calling myself was killing myself. It was allowing me not to ever be free from everything that I had myself caught up in and bound to. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I understood it from that perspective, but I'm glad that I'm on this side now and that I've matured enough to be able to even receive even this, because this is pretty weighty, but it is directly who I am. Janita Simone Collins declares that I am a person blessed by God's favor, committed to eternity's divine guidance, and rooted in a heritage of supernal strength in the nation of Jesus Christ, reflecting God's grace and victorious nature in life. Listen, this is what I do every day. If you notice on this slide, well, you guys can't see, but they can. I have law, constitution, policies, rights. Why? I'm telling you that these are the things that are governing you. And you have to be mindful of the name that you keep. It does matter. But more than anything, before I keep this name, the reason why I can receive this name as it is today is because I received all those other names before. Because I was okay with being a remnant. I was okay with being a holy nation. Do you understand? I was okay with being a peculiar people. I was okay with all of that. I became okay with that. I became okay with God's world. I stopped fighting God. I stopped arguing with God about what I thought and what I wanted. And I started believing and trusting that God is God all by himself and he doesn't need my help. What he needs me to do is work with him. What he needs me to do is put down my will and come up as a king. One day you'll learn that. But what I just said, if you catch it, it is life. I'm stopping there because this next piece is going to set you free for real. It's going to destroy the lie, but it's also going to install the truth. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm Apostle Janita Collins. This has been a great run. As usual, I leave it all right here. I tell you, it is a pleasure to serve you. It is a pleasure to be with the King. I love it, and I want you to love it. That's why I preach this hard. That's why I teach this hard, and this is why I keep it 100% real and truthful with you. Why? Because I was once deceived. I was once led astray. I was once my own free agent. But when God got a hold of me this time, I sat down and I learned of him and became a bondservant. And I love that position, because I'd rather be a bondservant to the King than to be a bondservant to hell. To be a bondservant to the devil, to be a bondservant to sin. I refuse to be her anymore. I am free and liberated in Jesus Christ, and I am a King, and I want you to know that you are too. Now my job is to make sure that I get you to understand how to allow that King to live. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. I love each and every one of you. I want you to have a prosperous week, and I want you to remember, whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he is God. And we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. We love Jesus because Jesus first loved us. God bless each and every one of you. And I promise you, I plan on seeing you next week so we can carry this on. God bless, Kings. Have a great one.
Good evening, Kings. This is an honor to be able to just thank you for joining us today. This is Reign Embassy, and it is the central location of where Apostle Johnita Collins ministers to you from each and every Sunday. I just want to encourage you to go back and take a listen to this message when the replay becomes live. Now is our time of giving, but before I do that, I just want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to encourage you to really pay close attention to that message. We learned about the false church, the fallacy of what we perpetrate. We learned about wearing a t-shirt but not really living the word. We learned about what the ecclesia, the expectation of the ecclesia, the expectation of the ecclesia as a government, a real entity with rules and regulations. We also learned that we reject that often. We want the t-shirt, but we don't want Jesus and all of his regulations. One of the passages that Apostle Johnita gave us today was Matthew 28:18-20. And I love the word command, because that is where she came from. Even though that scripture is about our mandate, we also went through different names and identities that God has called us. And one of the questions she challenged us to was simply this: are you living out these names, or are you living out the word in your own way? Are you doing what you desire? Are you doing what is humanistic, or are you following the gospel of Jesus Christ? So I want to encourage you today to visit us online at johnitacollins.live. I want you to become familiar with that website, because we're going to have some new ways for you to give that's going to be posted on the website this week. I also want you to be able to access our social media, and that's going to be there also. I want you to also learn more about what is happening. We will be adding an events cycle there so you can catch up on upcoming events, which brings me here to June 21st, 2025, when you will experience Canvas in Council. And this is an opportunity where Apostle Johnita is going to engage us in creativity in the area of painting. But listen, while honoring our King and giving us divine wisdom, which is an area that she walks in profoundly, I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed, because this is the house of an apostle, and you're going to receive every ounce of that at Canvas and Council. You'll be hearing more, because we definitely have to promote this to the hilt in our community. But go to the website, johnitacollins.live, for more information on this. Save the date, June 21st, 2025.
Now, I want to remind you that you need to give your war tax today, whether it's an offering, an alms, a tithe, whatever it is that your honor and your responsibility is for receiving such a rich word. Because I tell you what, you cannot say you have heard this before. If you are, you are being untrue, because you and I both know this type of message and the weight of this message is not being preached across the church today. So I just want to encourage you to give what is your war tax. There are two ways you can give today. One is by Zelle, and that's JC Merching, JCMERCHING at gmail.com. I don't need to spell that part for you. And the other is via Cash App. Again, I just want to remind you that is the Rain Embassy. That is the way you can give today. And I just want to encourage you to, again, visit our website later in the week, johnnitacollins.live, for other ways to give. So be encouraged. I know that God is expecting us to live out this word and to be able to walk out these things by making it practical and real. And listen, this isn't a lightweight word. As we learn today, there's definitely a path straight to hell. And many of us, many of God's people are on it. But the path, the narrow way, and I've got to tell you about this other announcement too, the narrow way is the way to Christ, and it's filled with all kinds of containments to keep you on the path. One last announcement. Well, two. Apostle Johnnita Collins has two outstanding podcasts. One is actually Rain Embassy. So there are multiple ways that you can hear the messages on Sunday, and I appreciate this podcast because, listen, you can hear the messages in order. You can go and listen to the first message and build yourself all the way up until this particular Sunday. So I want to encourage you to subscribe to the Rain Embassy podcast, and I will tell you where in just a minute. But listen, she just launched the Straight Gate podcast, which is powerful. These messages are potent, 10 to 15 minutes. There's so much just dirt that you can get there, and you can draw on each day to align your soul with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can you access these? First, I want to just tell you, johnnitacollins.live. That's the place you can go, the main website, the hub for all of your information. But for these podcasts, anywhere where you watch your popular podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Podbean, whether it's Amazon Music, listen, she's everywhere. And if you forget, there's always a Google search engine. There's always Yahoo. There's always Bing. Just put in Apostle Johnnita Collins. That's what you need to do, because there's no excuse for not being able to find her. And we're in a time when we need the Word of God walked out in purity and in truth. So I want to thank you again for joining us for Rain Embassy this Sunday. And I want to just thank Apostle Johnnita Collins, who is just a blessing to this body that she leads here. She's all of our apostles here at Rain Embassy, and we're very proud to have a leader full of truth and grace. And I want to thank you for joining us today. In Jesus' name, God be with you, and don't forget to give.